Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Yeah, very good evening to you. This is the West Ham Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio every single Wednesday, 8 till 9 p.m. Jake Watson in for Johnny Burrow this evening. As I said, he is resting up the voice. It's been a busy few weeks, has it, for our Johnny. So rest up, mate. Hopefully we'll see you again soon. So yeah, it is me, Jake Watson, joined in the studio by James Jones and Danny Lewis from West Ham World. It's been, James, for yourself, Danny, first time I've met you. Very good evening. Nice to meet you. But James, the first, time I've seen you in a little while.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to see your face.
I thought you were saying you were leaving it there. It's nice that you've not seen me in a while.
There was
a pause there.
No, I just didn't
what
know.
What was that for?
I just didn't know.
A dramatic pause.
What nice word to say afterwards. Nice, but it's good to see your face, Jake.
It's been nice. Right, you were just mentioning me before we kind of gone on air. It's a certain... I'm not sure if we can go an anniversary, but there's a date of slight significance, isn't there?
Yeah,
today for you West Ham fans.
It's 4 years since West Ham signed Dimitri Payet.
Is this of particular significance?
Well, the club have seemed to have made a big deal about
it. Yeah, no, I did see it on today, on Twitter.
And you know, I think a lot of fans are still split on whether he's a legend or whether he can we can just be forgotten given the way that he left about 18 months, 2 years ago. So I don't know, obviously, on these sort of anniversaries, everyone's like, oh, would you have him back? You know, and there's been some hints that we might be interested in him. But Danny, me and you were talking in the beforehand that, you know, probably wouldn't have him back.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those that still hate him and all that sort of thing. I miss him, like, quite a lot. I was writing an article about him earlier and I was just thinking, like, oh, just remember those days. And to be honest, that's part of the reason why I wouldn't want him back, because I don't want that time tainted.
Because he's going back to an ex, right?
Yeah, it's like he was this almost like this magical figure who just popped up for a season, scored these incredible free kicks and then left again. And it's, you know, if he did come back and was average or not as good as last time, it would be like, oh, well, you're not the same now, are you?
I find it interesting, though, what you said, you know, this debate almost among West Ham fans about whether he is a legend or not. Because, as I say, I used to do this show. It's been a little while since I've been here. But one of the last ones we did, I think, it was off the back of a West Ham Twitter video of Mark Noble. And we had a long old debate about that, didn't we?
Yeah,
and it was massively divisive between the fans about whether he was a legend or not, which I found, personally, quite hard to believe. I mean, even if, you know, you can question his ability, I mean, I'm not necessarily that's a debate, but in terms of his longevity at the football club, I thought it was a bit of a no-brainer. So I find it interesting that we're having the debate about Mark Noble being a legend, but also having the same one about Payet, who as I mentioned, had a magical season and then kind of left under really quite kind of acrimonious circumstances.
I think in this day and age, you know, it doesn't take a lot for fans to call someone a legend. You know, all they got to do is bang in a few free kicks and give you a good season, and suddenly, you know, they're in that bracket or getting close to being that bracket. I think Payet could have been put in that bracket had he not left the way he did, and had he stayed a little bit longer, maybe to the end of that season, you know, where he left in January. But at the end of the day, he didn't, and what happened, and you know, I don't think we should even entertain any kind of move for him. Because we're not going to get the same Payet. You know, we got a 28-year-old Payet or 27-year-old Payet at the time. Mm. You know, pushing to get into the France team for the Euros,
which he did. He was one of the stars of that.
Yeah. And you know, we're not going to get that sort of player anymore. And I just think, you know, if he comes back, where does he fit?
Yeah.
And two, the first time he plays, everyone's going to expect him to whip in a free kick from 30 yards and he's going to rip one into Rose Head, and everyone's going to go, oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
What's the point? And just leave it be. You know, we've got some great memories from him from that last season at Upton Park. Memories that, you know, will stay with many, many fans, you know, forever. Let's just leave it at that.
Danny, do you agree?
Yeah, well, just before the show, I got some stats on how he actually did this season.
Mate, I love some stats. So has he been rubbish?
he actually hasn't been that bad. He got across the Europa League and Ligue 1. He got 27 starts and 9 sub appearances, scoring 6 goals and getting 7 assists.
Okay.
So it's not that bad.
It's all right. But,
you know, if you saw that in normal circumstances, you'd be like, oh, yeah, give it a go. But, you know, it's just that sentimental value. Like, I don't want him to come back and ruin what he is to me because of what he did before. Like, so, you know, as James said, he probably might not fit in and, you know, others might have to miss out if he did come in who could do better.
Mm.
But it's not even that for me. You know, for some people, it's the fact that he did so well the first time that they want him to come back. But for me, it's the complete opposite.
So is this discussion about, you know, would you have him back coming off the back of like genuine links? Or is it just, you know, a general discussion you have amongst yourself in terms of a, you know, a what if situation?
Well, he's been linked with Leeds, hasn't he?
I've seen Buffon and Francesco Totti have been this week linked with Leeds.
Payet's been linked with them
really?
As well.
I didn't see that one.
I haven't seen any solid, like credible links to West Ham, but you know, there's been a few insiders on Twitter perhaps hinting that, you know, it's being looked at.
So again, that strikes me a little bit in terms of the way you left, whether the, you know, the fans, we all know, not fickle, but do you know what football fans are like? You know, memories can be short, you can love someone, you can hate someone. It can change very quickly, but I presume kind of relationships with a board would perhaps be more kind of lasting. So I find it a little bit surprising that the board would entertain it because of the way it left.
I don't think they would. I don't think David Sullivan would entertain it. And, you know, what we're hearing at the moment is that, you know, Pellegrini and Huslos have their own mission in terms of the transfer strategy, and he kind of doesn't fit into that, you know, that sort of bracket of player that we're looking for anyway. So I think a lot of it is just, you know, just talk because everyone would love to see him back.
Yeah. But see, the thing with me, we talk about legends and that, because again, it's always a debate, is that person a legend? For me, what I think you need to separate a legend and a hero. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because for me, I think that a legend, it's kind of undisputable that person, you know, they're a legend to everyone. Whereas I think a hero can be a personal thing. And, you know, they could have played just for your football club for a year, but because of, you know, Danny, you talk about the memories that they give you, he can be your hero. But there's a difference perhaps being a hero and a legend.
Well, Tevez falls under the same bracket.
Yeah. You know, he won't go down in particular folklore as one of your greatest ever players. But in terms of, you know, moments that he gave you over a short period of time, you can understand why we would have some kind of status with those fans.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I completely agree. I don't know about you, Dan.
And with the legend thing, you know, you don't look at Payet and think, oh, you know, one day you might have a stand named after him or something like that. Like,
there is not going to be a training ground.
You look at Mark Noble and think like, oh, you know, as much as people moan him about him now, you know, in 20 years, they could be thinking, let's name a stand.
We could easily, you know, once he finishes retiring, go into the coaching staff and just his association will likely in some capacity continue with West Ham. You know, in years gone by when he sat on the sofa on Sky Sports, he won't be there talking about any other football club other than West Ham.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, with Payet, in my book, he's nowhere near a legend, but he's just so unique. It's, you know, I doubt there's many players where a fan base would look at him the way that West Ham fans look at Payet. So it's a very unique case. He's not a legend, but it's one of those where you can't really quite put a name on what he is to West Ham, but it's kind of special in the same way.
Well, he was a maverick, wasn't he? As a
maverick's
player.
The best way to sum him up.
Exactly. And again, you know, these are the kind of players that people absolutely love, don't they? I mean, James, in your years supporting West Ham, you had some mavericks. You mentioned kind of the likes of Carlos Tevez.
Yeah.
And then people forget, I suppose, sometimes, you know, when they haven't been there for years and years, or they've gone on to other clubs and had maybe a longer association with them. Say, for instance, like someone like Carlos Tevez. But I mean, where does Payet rank in terms of kind of raw ability?
Oh, he's definitely up there with one of the best, I think. You know, if you just take that one season, barring Di Canio. And he pushes Di Canio in terms of ability.
Maverick.
Like the Maverick.
Yeah. The ultimate.
I think Di Canio is probably the very top, but Payet pushes him in terms of one of the best players I've ever seen play live in a West Ham shirt.
Mm.
Tevez just behind. I think he trumps Tevez. I think Tevez only really turned up for 12 games in that season.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
Although he was, you know, he had his moments, but it was the end of the season when we really saw the real Carlos Tevez.
Came to life.
Whereas Payet, for the entire season, was just amazing. But then Di Canio consistently did it for like what, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, Danny, in your life, you know, going down to obviously the Berlin or the London Stadium, the players you've seen, I mean, is he the standout player?
Well, yeah, he's definitely up there. To be honest, I feel a bit for my nephew, because when I first started taking him, that was Payet's first season. So he must have been thinking, oh, yeah.
This is what it's like every year.
Every year we're going to have this player like Payet. So and I was a bit like, oh, Bob, you know what? Like, this is a very special player you're getting to watch. Yeah, Make the most of it.
Yeah.
He's definitely one of the best that I've seen.
Throw another name, though, in there. We've got Paolo.
I mean, I was around for the end of Paolo Di Canio. I also used to really enjoy watching Dean Ashton.
Yeah.
He was one of my favourites. Obviously, it's a shame how things ended
for him.
Proper
nice guy as well.
But yeah, he was another one of my favourites to watch. And obviously, Scott Parker before he went to Tottenham. Mm.
Yeah. Before he ruined that. Okay, brilliant. So what? We're saying nice anniversary. Thank you, West Ham Twitter sphere, for bringing it back to our attention.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe time to move on and forget about it. Or we're going to be sat here in another year doing 5 years since Payet.
Hopefully not.
No.
Yeah, just leave it at that.
And there we are. We're going to leave it right there. Yeah. As said by James, you are listening to the West Ham Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. We come back. We're going to talk about the Under-21s Championships. Rumours have it that the West Ham scouts had a whole host of people there checking out on the talent, and not to forget a couple of your own players involved in the tournament itself. So we'll do that next here on the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport.
Yeah, and it is the West Ham Fan Show here on Love Sport. Jake Watson in for Johnny Burrow this evening. We have got Danny Lewis and James Jones in the studio. We've just been discussing Dimitri Payet, maverick, cult hero, legend, whatever you want to call him. It's 4 years to the day since he signed for your football club. Maybe we'll be sat in another year's time and reminisce a little bit more about the Frenchman. But let's talk about the European Under-19s Championships. Not necessarily from an England perspective. I mean, I'm not sure what there is to say. It was pretty dire. But we do know that the likes of Pablo Fornals was out there playing for Spain. Saw a goal he scored. Looks a player. Mm. But yeah, what have you been hearing? Because the story is that you've got a load of scouts out there, which I think is great. Taking a look at arguably Europe's, I mean, you could go as far as saying the world's best talent all on show here.
Yeah, well, the main focus at the moment is on the French team. We're meant to be looking at a guy called Mateta, but the only game he actually started was a 0-0 draw, and he's a striker, so that's probably not the best sign. But apparently, we're looking at the French players, and we're also keeping an eye out for other players. So it's quite encouraging, because obviously, you know, the signs coming out of the club have been that, you know, we're looking for young talent, and this sort of backs it up. You know, when you're looking at, you know, hypothetically, they're going to be among the best under-21 players in Europe. So it's the perfect place to look, probably. And obviously it helps that one of our new players is doing very well there. He only started one game, but he's probably been amongst Spain's best players. He came on for a bit in the first game, came on in the second game and scored the winner in the 88th minute, and then started the final game, which Spain won 5-0 and scored the opener. So, yeah, you can't really complain when you see your new signing doing that. Mm.
Yeah, and I suppose the nice thing is when you're performing well at a tournament, because as you said, all these scouts are here, everyone's taking a look at him. We see it all the time, particularly with World Cups. You have a good tournament and then suddenly out of nowhere you've gone from being a £10 million player to a £40 million player, which is often a dangerous market. But, you know, the Fornals deal is done. He's yours.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, I suppose that's the only real worry on the back of what we've been told, that, you know, there's a mission, like an under-21 scouting mission going on, is that Now everyone knows that we're there and we're keen on buying a few youngsters. Mm. That, you know, if one or two of these youngsters have a couple of really good games, then their clubs are going to go, okay, yeah, well, you want him, you know, you're going to have to pay £30 million rather than the 15 we initially wanted. But at the same time, the big thing for me is that this really proves that there's been a real shift at the football club in terms of the way we do transfer business. You know, everyone knows how poor we've been over the last few years, you know, buying the likes of, Sofiane Fagouli and Gökhan Touré and Simone Zaza and Arbeloa. I mean, I could go on. I could do the entire hour.
I'd like a couple more because you forget Patrice Evra.
I mean, Samir Nasri.
I'd forgot
last
half
season.
Of those players you mentioned there.
Torre. I mean, we're only just getting rid of a lot of them.
Yeah.
So to be able to already sign Pablo Fornals, who at the moment, from what we've already heard, has been an absolute snip at £25 million, to then be looking at a few more. And hopefully get them, you know, if we can get them for, you know, under 20 million quid, which a lot of youngsters probably might go if they're like just coming through their ranks at their parent club, then I think it's only a good thing. And I'd rather see us build a squad of young players than bring in the likes of Sam Enasri on 6-month deals, yeah. The likes of, you know, Arbeloa and Ever and all that, just trying to fill gaps here and there because we've got injury crisis and all that. If you've got youngsters, hungry youngsters coming out of a major tournament at their level, signing for a Premier League football team and fighting for a first-team opportunity can only be a good thing.
Yeah, and so there has been a need, hasn't there, Danny, to move away from these... You don't want to criticise these players because some of them have worked out, but, you know, it is nice to see that there's clearly a longer-term view in terms of the way you're building this squad.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can only get so far by, you know, signing this old player and be like, oh, yeah, he'll fill a hole for a couple of months and then we'll get another one. You know, you're never going to really progress like that. You know, the fact that we're getting Fornals and we're looking at these other young players, it's like, oh, okay, well, look at who we got last year. We got the likes of Issa Diop and Felipe Anderson. We had the people from this year, add them to the ones last year. Next year, if we do the same, there might be even better players. You know, that's how you start progressing as a club and you start pushing towards, you know, I don't want to say it because, you know, this like promised land of European football and all that sort of thing. You don't want to tempt fate, but, you know, if things keep going along the way they are, and, you know, the fact that the likes of Man United are beginning to fall away a bit, you do sort of begin to harbour this little bit of hope, like, oh, maybe it will happen. Maybe we will actually get in there.
It's the hope that kills. Look, mate, I say I'm a supporter of a similar-sized, you know, Premier League club, and you always go into that same season thing.
That's debatable, by the way.
It's
debatable.
No,
what is the club?
Are you doing this?
It's debatable.
Leicester City.
Oh, fair enough.
No, it's debatable.
No, we're not doing this. No, James, like, pretend, forget I ever said that. We're not having this debate right now. Right. But it's the hope, isn't it, that kills you. Sorry, the reasonable person in the corner here, Danny. I'm getting told I'm choosing to have this debate. We're absolutely not having this debate on the radio about sizes of football clubs. But it is the hope, isn't it, in terms of you look at Arsenal, you look at Manchester United. I mean, Chelsea, with their situation, who knows what's going to happen next season with a transfer ban and a massive rookie going in at managerial level. You talk about some of the signings that worked out. You know, if Man United want Issa Diop, you know, various other players will be signing or looking at your players. There is kind of, you know, if you're going to kind of look it through those spectacles and with everything kind of going your way, that, you know, if everything, well, the ambition has to be to push those clubs, isn't it? It has to be, or otherwise there's no point.
Definitely. I mean, you know, we've sort of done the years where we were a bit of a yo-yo club, and, you know, we've been down a couple of times and come back up in my lifetime. But, you know, you sort of want to get away with that, away from that, and sort of be like, you know, we can push towards getting a higher position because, you know, they go into work every day and they put in the hard graft and all that. And it's like, you know, it's pretty pointless doing that if you're not going to aim for something more than what you're already at.
No, absolutely. And say the same thing to you kind of then, James. You know, you think, you know, if you get the likes of Fornals through, is it simply just progression next season and not necessarily league position? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it has to be. I think we saw the beginning of what we the sort of new era that we told we were going to get in terms of the style of football. Okay, it didn't happen every week, but, you know, you had to forgive Pellegrini given that, you know, it was never going to happen overnight. But I think you're right. Progression, whether that is if we just finished 10th again, but the football's good, you know, we're consistent, more consistent, because last year we weren't consistent, and that was my big gripe throughout the season. I think in terms of the style of football and the players that we're bringing in, we'll see that. It's just, you know, whether we can really start really fulfilling the, you know, the reasons why we move stadium, because I think that's in the back of a lot of fans' minds now.
Yeah.
In that, you know, okay, yeah, this is the fourth season since we moved. We haven't had a season anywhere close to that last season at Upton Park. We've had to battle relegation for 2 years. Then last year, which was a good season. So any solid season, we're not looking over our shoulders at relegation. We're winning games that we should be winning. We're you know, solid at home. I think that's very, very important.
Yeah.
We were like that last season. If we can, you know, make London Stadium a fortress and finish in mid-table again, I think that would be progression.
On four now, though, is there any... You know, you talk about, you know, it's great to see the club going down the route of, you know, young, exciting, talented players. Particularly, I mean, if you're a Spanish international at any level, the likelihood is you're fairly talented. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, these are young players coming into new leagues. There is a big price tag. There is a certain expectation. You are naturally excited about this signing. That, you know, it's not too uncommon. I mean, it's actually fairly regular occurrence that a young player coming in from a foreign league, you know, doesn't hit the ground running, to say the least.
There's always going to be that worry, as you said, and you know, I think a lot of fans are going to have to be, you know, admit that it's going to take a little bit of time for him to get used to the English game. That, you know, we spoke to a couple of weeks ago. We spoke to a Spanish football journalist,
yeah,
who was telling us all about Fornals, and you know, he said he didn't have the best season last year for Villarreal.
Right.
Villarreal weren't great themselves.
Okay. But, so this, you know, is purely kind of done on the scouting, you know, and the potential as opposed, yeah, to what he's doing right now.
Yeah, and he didn't have the best of the seasons. And, you know, we were told, you know, be patient with him. He's got the talent. We've seen he's got the talent. He's what he's doing for Spain in the summer tournament. But, you know, Danny was writing earlier that... Danny was writing earlier that, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time for him to get into the West Ham team, because he could be still at the tournament up until the end of June.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
So he might not even play for a couple of weeks because he's going to join pre-season a bit later. So, you know, we need to be patient with these sort of players, particularly at such a young age. But, you know, the signs are promising, really, really promising.
Yeah, just some breaking news regarding some transfers just coming into us here at Love Sport. Regards one of these under-21 players who's involved at the European Championships, not involving West Ham, but it does involve Chelsea. Jada Silva, who was part of the Chelsea team, one of their under-21 players, was alone at Bristol City last season. He's just signed permanently for them. Rather interesting there, considering Chelsea's transfer embargo. Obviously, do not see a future for him at the club. He signed a four-year deal at Bristol City. But, Danny, have you had a chance to have a look at much of the European under-21 Championships and do a bit of scouting yourself? I love doing it. I love doing it. Because sometimes you see these players and think, oh, he's going to be a star, and then 10 years later they just did nothing.
I've had a little bit of a look. There's one player who it's almost like bad timing that he's doing so well. It's Dani Ceballos, and West Ham had apparently,
right, yeah. The Real Madrid, yeah, player,
and West Ham had apparently had a little bit of a look at him, but to be honest, like, as much as you'd love to say, oh yeah, he's done really well at the under 21 Euros, we might end up bringing him in, it's like, I'm pretty sure I've seen that, you know, AC Milan are now looking at him,
yeah,
and all these
AC
different
Milan
teams
and Spurs
are looking at him. So it's, you know, as much as it's a chance to scout players, it also brings competition to sign those players. So yeah, Dani Ceballos is one that's been very impressive. I was looking at him earlier, and I'm pretty sure it was on Who Scored, apart from one game of the three that he's played, he was given the best rating out of Spain.
That's decent.
With Fornals doing well and, you know, other members of their team doing well, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But if West Ham were interested, you'd hoping that they'd kind of done that scouting previously. If you're at Real Madrid, you should have heard of him.
And then there's also a couple of the Romanian players, you know, they've done really well.
It's crazy, isn't it? Mm. It's absolutely mental. I mean, think at senior level, obviously England making the World Cup semi-finals, Croatia making the final, being in the same group as France as well, and to beat England and Croatia, score four goals past them, it's pretty nuts, isn't it?
So, yeah, you know.
Do you fancy any of them? I mean, Georgi Hagi's son, Giannis, looks a bit of a baller.
Yeah, so, you know, I was going to say him. So, you know, you've got to be a bit careful going off players off the back of a national team tournament. But, you know, if they, you know, that could be the basis of them going and looking at him through the next season. And who knows, in January or next summer, it might be like, oh, yeah, Hagi's popping up. And then, you know, that might have been the cause of it.
Yeah, real life football manager. And yeah, Hadji, he had a go in Europe, but ended up going back to Romania. So rather interesting. I'd imagine off the back of this tournament and the fact that he is related to Georgi Hadji, will find himself moving from top dollar to a big club, or a big league at least, this summer. Anyone you seen, James, at all in European Under-20 Championships?
I've not been able to catch a lot of it. Pablo Fornals looks pretty good,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, what do you know of him?
Yeah, no, he's a good little player. Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, you should sign him. All right, need to take a break. It's the West Ham Fan Show here on Love Sport. Loads more transfer talk coming up. We're on until 9 p.m. this evening.
This is Love Sport.
Yeah, welcome back. It's the West Ham Fan Show here on Love Sport. We've got Danny and James Jones in the studio with me. Lots of transfer talk, as you can imagine. It's this time of year. We've talked about our kind of scouting mission at the European Under-21 Championships. A few people that have caught the eye, as you'd imagine. But let's talk about some other transfer sagas that have been, well, this one in particular has been running on for a while. Again, I remember being sat here in January with you and talking about Maxi Gomez. I remember at the time discussing, talking, thinking it was pretty much a done deal, that there was a release clause there. He was kind of keen to come to West Ham. But the situation was Celta Vigo, they were involved in a relegation battle, weren't they? And they basically said to him, look, stay until the end of the season, then you can go. Well, no deal has happened at the moment. What is the latest? Because I'm very much out of the loop.
Well, I've been told that the club really, really want him. Pellegrini said, that's the player I want. And we're led to believe that whoever Pellegrini wants, he gets. But this one's proving a little bit difficult because apparently he wants to stay in Spain. And
right.
He wants to sign for one of the top three in Spain.
I think I saw Valencia links.
Valencia had a bid rejected.
Okay, yeah, I didn't just make that up.
he's apparently only interested in staying in Spain and playing for one of the top three.
Right.
But West Ham believe that there's no chance that the top three are going to go in for him. Unless they can get him for 25 million at a snip, then they're not going to come in and pay like the 45 million quid that they want.
No, it's a fair point.
West Ham obviously don't want to pay the 45 million. They're trying to knock him down a little bit. So this one's going to go the distance. You know, if there's going to be a transfer saga this year, it's going to be West Ham and Maxi Gomez. So,
yeah, I mean, is that kind of Danny what you want to hear though? You know, a player saying he doesn't really fancy. Do you know what I mean? When you want that player to be set on that move, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. It always helps when a player's like, oh yeah, I really want to come to West Ham. But, you know, if the deal does happen, and as long as he knuckles down, you know, he might end up falling in love with the club, and then, you know, he wants to give everything for the shirt and all that sort of game. So I guess I'm not that... I mean, there are a lot of fans that would be incredibly worried by the fact that he's not overly keen on moving to England. But In my personal opinion, you can't really blame him too much because, you know, obviously there's a comfort zone there and he potentially doesn't want to leave that just yet. So, you know, obviously moving outside of Spain where he's played for however long would push him outside of that. So in a way, you can't blame him. So I wouldn't like hold a grudge against him or anything like that if he did sign.
Yeah. And I suppose it, James, they kind of from the flip side again, in terms of his... not defence as such, but in terms of a positive for the football club, it is a mark of ambition, isn't it, that you are going after a striker who believes he can play for one of those big three in Spain?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he was being linked with Barcelona not long ago, I think, even as soon as January. And Tottenham have been linked with him, you know, Champions League finalists. So there are big clubs in for this lad, or have been in for this lad. So the fact that we're still in the fight for him, it is good. It's good that he's got that hunger that he wants to play for one of those big Champions League clubs as well. It's whether then we can, you know, if we can get the opportunity to speak to him and convince him, you know, come and spend, you know, one or two seasons with us and try and get us into Europe, and he can be playing at that level anyway.
Yeah.
Because he obviously feels that, you know, it might not be the fact that he wants to play for one of those big clubs, he just wants to be playing in the Champions League or at least the Europa League.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if we can go, look, you know, we've got the foundations, we've signed, you know, this exciting...
yeah,
Spaniard called Pablo Fornals, who we'll know a lot
exactly
about.
Exactly, there could work in your favour.
You know, come along and join us and help us get to where we believe we can get to. And I think that'd be a good sales pitch, and I think that'd be a strong sales pitch to him. But, you know, we've got to be able to get to that table first, and I think Celta Vigo are playing hardball, which I don't blame them for.
No, not at all. But, I mean, naturally you want people through the doors as early as possible. He is the one you're after, but at what point do you reckon, Danny, you kind of think actually need to move on to target number two?
Well, obviously he's at Copa America at the moment, so there's not going to be anything too soon. So it's like, if you've got your heart set on him, you are going to have to wait. But, you know, maybe...
Have we been linked with any other kind of striker of his ilk? Because, you know, it's clear, isn't it? A striker needs to come in this window and a decent one to lead the line, you know, and a marquee signing. Other than Gomez, are you hearing whispers of anybody else? Or is this very much, this is the club, this is the one the club are going, you know, all out for?
Well, I've seen some stuff about Musa Moreira. I'm not sure how...
Porto. Yeah.
You know, he was... I'm pretty sure
he's massive as well.
Drawing as the third top scoring striker in the Champions League last season. Mm. You know, you can say, oh yeah, he was playing in the Portuguese league. But, you know, he was alongside Tadic, who obviously did very well, and Cristiano Ronaldo and Aguero in the scoring charts in the Champions League. I mean, you know, as much as we are going on to do great, great things, to have a player like that at West Ham United would be very impressive, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, there are a few others. I mean, there was that other striker early on in the window, Wesley Mareai, who ended up at Villa, which surprised me. Villa just came in and got him, and we were linked with him.
22 million quid.
Yeah, and then suddenly he was just rocking up at Villa. So, but then, you know, there's his ongoing links with Rondon.
It looks like you're going after a particular striker here.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what are the physical attributes of Gomez, Rondon and Moreira? Yeah.
But then there's Mitrovic as well, who going after those, you know, can be a bit bullish. So, I don't know. I think, you know, we're going to end up with...
Islam Samani? He's going.
No, you're right. He was another player we were linked with before he rocked up at Leicester.
I'll drop him off on the way.
Yeah. No, you're right. But there are several strikers we've been linked with, and it's interesting to see that the club are really keen on signing strikers, but they're doing it a completely different way than they were. They were targeting Lacazette and Batshuayi about four years ago, where they're not telling anyone, they're not really sort of, they're keeping their cards close to their chest. Okay, the rumours are coming out, but they're not, you know, David Sullivan's not, you know, writing a column on the website going, we've got 50 million quid and we want to sign this guy. It's a measured approach to signing a striker. And I think we'll sign one or two strikers because, you know, we've already let Lucas Perez go. Hernandez is on his way out. You know, he's
Andy
admitted
Carroll
that
has been released.
Andy Carroll's been released. Jordan Hugo will probably go as well if we can find a buyer.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. So we should expect at least two, maybe even three to come in to fill the gaps.
Yeah.
I can't imagine two or three of the names we've already spoken about going to come in, because that'd be pretty crazy.
Mm.
But, you know, I'd like to see the Maxi Gomez come through, but if not, then, you know, I think the next best thing will probably be Mitrovic for me.
I like Rondon. And say the issue with Mitrovic, again, is that it's not going to be straightforward, is it, to prize away from Fulham, even if he is available. There's going to be a big queue. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that the West Ham, of course, can't win that signature. Of course they could. But they're going to be in amongst a whole host of clubs. I mean, mm-hmm. the situation with Salomon Rondon is that he's not going to sign for Newcastle permanently now. I found it one of the most crazy deals of all time. Because, you know, they have a policy that Mike Ashley doesn't allow anyone over the age of 26 to sign for the club.
It's madness.
Well, why on earth did you bring in Salomon Rondon on a loan deal with view to a permanent when he's 29 years old?
Yeah.
I think West Brom have been dealt a pretty hard line there. But yeah, Rondon's going to be available. And he is, you know, a number nine who can lead the line, yet not prolific. But you know what you're going to get. And if you're talking of needing maybe a couple of strikers, Rondon, I think for any kind of mid-table, top-half Premier League club, he'll do a job.
The problem, I mean, the release clause is only 16 million quid, so he's not going to break the bank either.
Which is peanuts, really, isn't it?
It is peanuts in today's market.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think if we do sign Rondon, he's not going to be a starter every week. Not if on out of it stays, which is looking very, very likely now. He's going to be the backup option off the bench, very much like Andy Carroll was when he was fit. But I think he'll do a much more productive job than Andy Carroll could do towards the end of his West Ham career. It'd be a clever signing. But will he be prepared to be coming in and playing, you know, and playing second fiddle and coming on for 10, 15, 20 minutes a game just to try and nick a goal? I'm not too sure whether he'll be up for that, given the impact he had for Newcastle last year. He knows he can still play at the top level week in, week out. Would he settle for that?
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. I feel as well, you know, if you go and get that ultimate kind of number nine as the obvious player, it is then hard to then bring another striker, isn't it? We talk about kind of a Harry Kane, Jamie Vardy situation. Nobody wants to sign for those football clubs because you know you're going to be playing second fiddle to those guys. You know, it'll be a similar thing. If you go spend £50 million on a striker, you then got to convince another one to come in and say, well, you will play. So is it then not a little bit kind of wise to go down a similar route with what Spurs did, finding someone like a Son who can play across the front, you know, who can play wide, but also as a striker? Because if you end up kind of, you know, having 3-4 strikers, you're just going to end up in the same situation right now with unhappy strikers not playing.
We've got players like that already in the squad. You know, Lanzini can play that role. Fornals could probably play that role as well.
Yeah.
Anderson played that role many a times last season. And Onyewich can play that role.
Antonio can play everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, he can play in goal if you want it.
Do a job.
I don't see Rondon coming in and going up front and then someone else coming in and playing that sort of Son role. I can see the likes of, you know, Gomez or Mitrovic coming in and then Arnautovic being able to play that role. I think, you know, if we're going to have that, then we're going to need a more mobile striker up top. I don't see Rondon as that mobile striker. I see Rondon as a player to come in and be that option off the bench rather than that regular starter. So I think I can see him being a last resort if we fail to get Gomez.
I think if we don't get Gomez, we could sort of, you know, you sort of go for two strikers who are of a similar level, you know, find someone who's Rondon and then like another player of that sort of level but a different style, and you sort of say go on, challenge Arnautovic and go and become the first choice striker, because then you've got three strikers all, you know, wanting to prove that they should be the first choice. They're all going to give their all and they're all going to have a chance of actually playing, you know, whereas, you know, if we did sign Gomez, obviously you want to have the best striker you possibly can, but it would in a way help having three strikers who are of a similar level, because you know they're staying motivated throughout the whole season because they know that if they put in a couple of good performances they've got a chance of being the main man.
Yeah, no, I often with strikers it can be a dangerous game, can't it, because they're all so desperate to play. They all need a run of games as well, you know, you can't just throw somebody in then bring them out for a couple of games. But with Arnie, is there any talk, any whispers whatsoever? He'll be off, or has that completely disappeared? Now, personally, it feels like it has.
It's disappeared. You know,
good thing?
But yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, I think we're all a little bit upset with what happened in January. And some people might, you know, I know that my brother, being one, has like washed his hands of him.
Yeah.
Just don't want anything to do with him anymore because of what happened.
I'm sure he's not the only one.
After the Wimbledon game where, you know, we'd just been beat 4-2 by bottom of League One team, and suddenly he's coming out going, I'm going to stay, I've just signed this new contract, 5 minutes after full time whistle. It's like, you should have been on that pitch, mate. So I can understand why a lot of fans would rather sell him and sort of, you know, see the back of him, but he showed towards the end of the season in those last two games that he can be so important to West Ham United, and he can score goals. And I see no reason why we shouldn't try and keep hold of him, because he's got that contract, he's on a lot of money. You know, why not keep him? And at the moment, it looks like China have lost interest.
Yeah, well, that feels, they say, because of that contract and because of his age and the money that West Ham would naturally like to receive for him if they were going to do a deal, the only option really is if there's Chinese interest again.
Yeah, I mean, I say China have lost interest, like the Chinese clubs, not the entire country. I mean, but yeah, it does look as though the Chinese clubs interested in him aren't interested anymore, and that can only work in our favour, because no one in Europe are going to pay 45, 50 million quid for him.
No, unless you're a Premier League football club, as you rightly say. You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show. We're going to take a break. We come back 1 till 9 p.m. this evening. Going to discuss some other things. The defence. Is anybody coming in this summer? You know, the likes of Issa Diop, Balbuena had decent seasons. Do we need anyone else? I know Diop's been linked, isn't he, with moves away from the football club. And also talk about the midfield as well. We know that Fornals has come in. We've got lots of options there. Anyone else? Listen to the West Ham Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
This is the West Ham Fan Show here on Love Sport. It's Jake Watson in for Johnny Burrow this evening. He is resting up, got himself the sniffles. He will be back next week. Got James Jones and Danny, though, in the studio with me. We've been talking kind of various transfers and a host of other stuff that you do this time of the year. Let's talk about our defence, though. Let's start with Issa Diop. The rumours died down a little bit. I mean, it kind of, when Manchester United were going hell for leather for Harry Maguire, then felt like, well, maybe we won't get him. So we kind of turned their attentions to Issa Diop. Again, they were kind of very much rebuffed, weren't they? And it's kind of died down again.
I mean, the whole Issa Diop thing made me laugh, but I think the only reason why United were interested is because they Ed Woodward remembered what Jose Mourinho said about Issa Diop last season. He sort of, after Diop had an absolute worldie against them. And Mourinho came out after and said, oh, you know, well played to the scout that got him because he's, you know, he's a real monster at the back. And I think Ed Woodward must be like, okay, I need a centre-back. Oh, yeah. I remember Mourinho mentioning that defender. Let's go for him. And I'm really pleased with the way West Ham have conducted themselves in this. They've just gone, you're not having him unless you pay a ridiculous amount of money for him.
But also, from his perspective as well, he didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything, which is nice. And then we had the sheer guts to go, okay, if you want him, we'll have Anthony Martial off you. And I love that. It's, you know, years ago, we would have just taken the money and run, and this time we've gone, no, we'll play hardball with you. And it seems like because of that, it's gone away. Hopefully it has, because, you know, I want to see Issa Diop play for West Ham for many, many years to come, because I think he's absolutely class.
Yeah, so that's it, isn't it? Is it building the defence around him? Is he the main man, the leader?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you look at the centre-back partnership of Issa Diop and Fabian Balbuena, you think, you know, that's one of the best centre-back partnerships we've probably had in a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's really encouraging to have those two playing together. And, you know, obviously Balbuena's a bit older, but there's a couple of years there where they can really build a strong partnership.
Yeah.
And as long as we keep Issa Diop for a couple of years, you know, even you know, it's sort of inevitable that at some point in, you know, hopefully the far future, he'll probably end up going to a bigger side at some point. But, you know, you want to just enjoy seeing him commanding at the back and being really dominating and stuff like that to as long as we can, really.
Like Leicester City.
So debatable.
No, I'm winding you up. Kind of. It's about keeping them fit, though, isn't it, the pair of them?
It is, yeah. I mean, Balbuena had an injury problem where Ogbonna had to come in and deputise, but then Diop and Ogbonna looked really, really solid together. Which surprised me because, you know, as soon as normally when one of our defenders gets injured, it all falls apart, but it didn't last year. But Diop, it took him a few games to really sort of get used to the English game.
Yeah, because again, I remember when he came in, it was for a decent chunk, and there was a fair amount of hype. You know, there's lots of people who watched that Ligue 1 and were saying, look, you've got yourselves a hell of a player here. But it wasn't completely evident, wasn't it, initially? But say by the end, it then kind of, you start to realise, actually, when you consider how his age, he is, was it 22?
22, yeah.
Yeah, you're thinking, actually, you know, in a couple of years' time, you could have one of the best defenders in the Premier League at this football club.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, a lot of West Ham fans hadn't heard of him when he turned up.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people were surprised that he paid what I think it was like 23 million quid for him. And then he sort of didn't play for the first few games, but then his first start for the club was against Wimbledon, the Wimbledon game
when
that we won. He scored.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
But for the first 20 minutes, he was a little bit ropey, and then he got an elbow from
his
centre-forward.
I mean, that's an introduction, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's an introduction to
Tuesday
the British
night
football.
In Wimbledon, yeah. Get an elbow from
welcome
a 30-year-old, 35-year-old centre-forward playing at
James
League
Hansen,
One. Yeah,
wasn't
it might have been.
Yeah.
And after that, he was just superb. It's if like he just needed an elbow in the face from someone to wake up and realise where he was. And ever since then, he'd been really, really good. And you're right, if we can keep him fit, if we can keep him away from the grass or some of the bigger clubs for a couple of years, watch him grow. And if we can get into Europe, which obviously is the long-term goal, then there's no reason why we can't keep him for longer than just 2 or 3 years, because obviously he's going to be one of playing in the biggest competitions.
Yeah. Got to give him a big bumper contract, though, no?
Yeah, it's going to have to come.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's on now, isn't it?
But this is the thing, you know, if you have a decent season, to kind of stay away from that interest. I mean, even if you can talk about ambition of playing for Manchester United, why people want to go there? Well, you know, they'd offer him 150k a week. You know, I'm not saying West Ham have to do that, but his agent would be going to the football club saying, well, look, he's on, say, for instance, 50, give him 90.
The,
And that's the way it works, isn't
it? We played a really dangerous game with what happened with Arnautovic in January.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he made noises that he wanted to leave. Agent made noises he wanted to leave and suddenly got a new contract. You know, that sends a message to a lot of our players that, you know, just make a few noises and you can get a new contract. And, you know, luckily so far, Diop hasn't said a word. He said, like, no, I'm happy. I'm happy where it is. But his agent could quite happily go, look, United are interested. Unless you give us a new contract, we're going to force a move. And I wouldn't be against him giving a new deal. He deserves it.
Yeah, no, and I agree. It's definitely it would show a mark of ambition as well, keeping the likes of them and tying them down to longer contracts. So, Danny, do you not think you need another defender? You think, again, you know, if you look after that partnership, you're fairly confident with the likes of Ogbonna. I mean, I suppose Rice can also drop in there as well.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy with the centre-back partnership. But, I mean, if you look at last season, obviously Fabianski made the most saves in the Premier League. Yet West Ham still conceded 55 goals. So there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little bit worrying that we've not looked at any defenders at all.
What do you reckon that was then? Because Fabianski did have a good season. And we're talking about Diop and Valbuena have a decent partnership. I mean, is it just one of those stats that doesn't perhaps tell the true story, or thinking maybe that the protection or the fullbacks? What is it?
Well, I'd say we were a bit frail at fullback, but I've actually got quite a bit of faith in Ryan Fredericks that he's going to do really well this year.
He's going to become good.
Yeah, well, I mean, he ended up getting a 10 out of 10 performance against Southampton last year.
You mean on who scored again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's part of my job, to be fair. So, but yeah, I mean, he's done really well at the end of last season. So hopefully he'll carry that on. But I do think we need to sign a new left back. I mean, we were looking at Ali Calderim from Fenerbahce, and he recently pocketed Mbappe when Turkey beat France 2-0. Mm. Obviously, you can't go off on performance, but, you know, I do really think that if we get a good defensive left back, we could be a solid defensive team this year. And, you know, with the fact that Manuel Pellegrini wants to play a midfield three of Rice, Fornals and Lanzini, so having two attacking midfielders, you're going to need a solid defence, otherwise you're going to ship so many goals. Mm. So I think we do definitely need to look at defenders in the transfer window,
yeah,
mainly at left back.
You agree with that, James?
Yeah, I think left back is probably the only area of the squad that...
Because you've still got Masuaku and Cresswell, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame because Cresswell has had so many great years at the club,
yeah,
but
it's frustrating,
since he picked that injury
happened
up,
yeah,
a couple of years ago, he's not been the same. Masuaku
is it a confidence thing, or has he just maybe lost a yard? What is it with
Aaron? I think it's a mixture of the two.
Yeah.
At the beginning, it was confidence, and then obviously as time's gone on, he's had a couple of good games since then, don't
yeah,
get me wrong.
No, he's not a bad player, but again, if we're sat here talking about the progression and the ambitions and looking at the other players in and around him, it's got to the point that at one point he was your player of the season, he was one of your best
yeah.
players, to
yeah.
now it's kind of actually, to know what, we can actually upgrade on you now.
But his game's had to change as well, because, you know, since then we've changed the manager twice, you know, different tactics,
yeah.
you know, different instructions, his game's had to change, and it's just a shame that what's happened, but, you know, Masuaku again, you know, he's come in and had, you know, had some good games, but he's erratic, you know. Like one day it'll be absolutely superb, the next he'd be, you know,
I wouldn't quite go as far as saying maverick, but again, he's a character, that's what I'd call him.
You can't, I mean, if Will's listening, it'd be so upset because he loves him,
yeah.
calls him King Arthur, but I'm not so sure. I mean, I like him, but I don't think we can have him there, and
yeah.
I think we need to. It's the one position where I'm not 100% happy, 100% like sort of safe with. We need to bring in a proper left back, a left back that can be there for 3, 4, 5 years, and really sort of solidify that defence. Because everywhere else, we're looking good. We're looking really good, and you know, if we can just nail that bit down, I'll be happy.
Yeah, and that is, you talk about that midfield three, you know, Fornals, Rice, and Lanzini. It's pretty tasty.
Yeah,
it is, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, three exciting young players, Declan Rice, you know, well, the best holding midfielder in England right now.
The producer, he jumped up. I think he's maybe disagreeing. I don't know, yeah, but off the top of my head,
there isn't.
There's certainly not an outstanding person massively ahead of him. Again, I was out there in Portugal and obviously playing for England in the first game when he got substituted off. England then conceded, and he was one of the better players without a shadow of a doubt in that England side. When you think he's so new into it, you know, he just continued to take everything you know, duck to water. But at the same time, it's always like, you know, this difficult second album. You know, he's had this season now where everyone said, wow, what a player. He's now got to, at the very least, do the same again, hasn't he? And it is, you know, suddenly people are watching Declan now a lot more than they were at the start of last season.
I mean, everyone's saying this was his breakthrough season. Mm. It was the season before that was his real breakthrough season, because that was where he had a lot of his difficulties.
Yeah,
you know,
he did,
when Moyes pulled him out of the team for the mistake at Arsenal, and, you know, he was really sort of working out where he was going to fit in. But he played over 30 games that year. So I don't think this year was his break. Okay, he got international recognition, and, you know, he's been linked with some big clubs. But, you know, I think he's the sort of character that will just brush it off and go again.
Yeah, well, it was his breakthrough season in terms of, you know, breaking into the consciousness of England and all that sort of thing. But, you know, it's not like he just popped up and suddenly was like an England international. You know, he sort of went through last season and learned from his mistakes, and, you know, it's been very important. And now you just watch him and you're thinking, you know, wow, like, I can't believe he's a West Ham player. I hope we just hang on to him for as long as we can.
Yeah, we will do. Well, chaps, look, that's where we've got to leave it this evening. Absolute pleasure speaking to you both. Danny Lewis and James Jones, West Ham fans here on Love Sport Radio. Johnny Barry will be back next week for you.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.